Hello and welcome to another Bible in the News. A storm is brewing in the court of public opinion at the moment as conflicts rage in the Middle East. Western media outlets, once regarded as pillars of neutrality and truth, are being exposed for what they are increasingly becoming: instruments of bias and ideological warfare. This trend is especially clear in coverage concerning the State of Israel. The BBC, long respected for its supposed impartiality, has recently found itself at the centre of a scandal. Internal memos, executive resignations, and documentary controversies have all laid bare a troubling reality. The voices that shape public perception are not just misinformed, they are, in many cases, actively hostile to the Jews. But for those who take the Bible seriously, this is not a surprise. It is a sign of the times. Over the past two decades, the BBC's coverage of Israel has shifted from occasional imbalance to entrenched hostility. This was highlighted in a now infamous internal review that catalogued repeated failures, disproportionately negative coverage of Israel, and an unwillingness to describe Hamas as a terrorist organisation, and also errors of the fact that consistently leaned in favour of Palestinian narratives. One notable example is the BBC's Arabic service, where anti-Israel bias has become particularly obvious. Here, reporting has not only failed basic journalistic standards, it has often amplified unfounded claims, ignoring crucial context, and stoked anti-Jewish sentiment. The Telegraph reported on this in their article on the 4th of November, entitled "BBC's Bias Pushed Hamas Lies Around the World." It contained a leaked memo written by Michael Prescott, an independent advisor to the BBC's Editorial Guidelines and Standards Committee, which laid bare BBC Arabic's multiple failings. The Assassin report, which we mentioned in October 16th, 2024, in the Bible in the News for that week, highlighted also this same sort of bias. Since then, a recent Ofcom investigation into a BBC documentary entitled Gaza, How to Survive a War Zone, concluded that the programme was, quote, materially misleading, end quote. It was in fact narrated and centred on a 13-year-old who was in fact, turns out later, the son of Hamas's deputy minister of agriculture. This was not explained in the documentary, but came out afterwards, meaning audiences did not know that the narrator had an anti-Israel agenda. The translations within the documentary were also misleading. One example is that an interviewee had reportedly said they were, quote, fighting and resisting Israeli forces, end quote, when in fact the direct Arabic translation was that they were in, quote, jihad against the Jews, end quote. The BBC accepted the ruling in full. Even senior editorial figures within the BBC have recently admitted that trust in its Middle East reporting has been compromised. These are not fringe accusations, they are acknowledged failings at the heart of one of the world's largest public broadcasters. The Times of Israel ran an article on November the 11th entitled, quote, "From Tears for Arafat to Death to the IDF, How BBC's Israel Coverage Has Gone from Bad to Worst." In this article, it states that, quote, top bosses at the BBC have quit over the documentary about Trump, but long-standing allegations of anti-Israel bias have soured British Jews' confidence in the national broadcaster, end quote. The article then highlights some of the key issues, including, firstly, how a BBC correspondent openly stated in a BBC report that when she saw Yasser Arafat leaving his ruined compound, she started to cry. Two, after October 7th, the BBC doggedly refused to label Hamas fighters terrorists, instead adopting the more neutral term, militants. Three, how it reported the Al-Ahli hospital blast by saying that hundreds feared dead or injured in Israeli airstrike on hospital in Gaza, Palestinian officials say. But this fails to make clear that the Palestinian officials was actually Hamas. 4. The, quote, How to Survive the Fallout from a Gaza documentary, end quote, which claimed to follow the lives of four young people affected by the conflict in Gaza, was narrated by the 13-year-old son of Hamas Deputy Minister of Agriculture. 5. The BBC's highest paid TV presenter, Gary Lineker, had retweeted calls to have Israel banned from international sporting bodies. 6. How the corporation failed to pull the plug on a live broadcast at Glastonbury of a set in which the rap punk duo Bob Villain chanted, quote, death, death to the IDF, end quote. And lastly, how that in a 2021 anti-Semitic attack on Jewish students, the BBC reported that anti-Muslim slurs had apparently been heard, making out that the victims had actually been the aggressors. It turned out later that the so-called slur was a distressed Jewish man speaking in Hebrew, appealing for help. The BBC's credibility took another hit recently when it was revealed that a Panorama documentary had misleadingly edited a speech by US President Donald Trump. By splicing together portions of a speech given an hour apart, the programme created the false impression that Donald Trump had incited the January 6th Capitol riot. His peaceful statements were omitted, and footage of the riot was shown immediately after the manipulated clip, a journalistic sleight of hand that provoked a furious backlash and legal threats from Donald Trump. This incident speaks volumes. If the BBC is willing to misrepresent one of the world's most prominent political figures, how much more might it misrepresent issues around Israel? But this is not just a media problem. The increasing hostility toward Israel and the Jews in global opinion is a symptom of something far deeper, a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Because the biblical prophets are clear, in the latter days, Israel would be regathered to their land, and the nations would be stirred up in opposition to her. Consider the words of Joel, which says, quote, For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, God judges, and will plead with them there for my people and my heritage Israel. Joel 3, verses 1 and 2. The phrase all nations is not insignificant. It is a description of the global scope of opposition that will be levelled against Israel, politically, militarily, and ideologically. That will bring about this great crisis. It would seem reasonable, then, to realise that this includes the court of public opinion and the instruments that shape it, such as the media. And we are witnessing this now. Ezekiel 38 also paints this picture. Israel is described as, quote, dwelling safely, all of them dwelling without walls, end quote, in verse 11. When an alliance of nations descends upon the land, this alliance, headed by Gog of the land of Magog, includes the people of the Rus, Persia, Ethiopia, Libya, Goma, and Togarma, a confederacy from the Russian north, European west, Iranian East and Northern African nations. Their motive is spoil. Their spirit is hostility against the people. And their actions are sanctioned by the political environment that sees Israel as an obstacle. We should not be surprised that media narratives today echo that hostility. What then should the Bible believer's response be? It is not to despair nor to retreat from the world, but to remain grounded in the Word of God. We are told to, quote, put not our trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. Psalm 146, verse 3. The media of men will not give us the truth. The governments will not stand with Israel. The nations will not defend the Jews. and we are not called to look to them for justice or wisdom. Instead, we look to the scriptures and to the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the God of Israel, which alone gives us a divine perspective and truth. In fact, the Bible is called, quote, the scripture of truth in Daniel 10 verse 21. It is called the word of God in John 10 verse 35. And in Titus 1 verse 2, we read that God cannot lie. Here alone, then, is the source of truth we can trust, and it gives us a divine perspective. God is not unaware of the rising opposition against his people, the Jews. In fact, he is allowing it to gather that he might act in power when the time is right. He will send Jesus Christ back to the earth, his only begotten Son, to save his people Israel in the great conflict of Armageddon. And he will re-establish his kingdom on the earth, as he promised King David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. We read in Ezekiel 38:23, thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So then, as Bible believers, it's important we must not adopt the world's perspective. Israel are not perfect, sure. The Jews are in need of the benefits of the new covenant prophesied of in Jeremiah 31. They do need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God. But we need to be aware that the bias against the Jews and against Israel, whether in the halls of government or the studios of the BBC, is often unmerited and a fulfillment of what God said would come. And it is a warning that the return of Christ is drawing near. When we see headlines that twist the truth, when nations condemn Israel while excusing terrorism, when institutions like the BBC fall from their former credibility, we lift up our eyes. For the time is short, and Israel's king is soon to come to put everything right. So, let us hold fast, trust only in the word of God, and be ready for the day when out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, as it says in Isaiah 2, verse 3. Join us again next week for another Bible in the News.